Who's your bias? I'm your bias. Who's your bias? I'm your bias. Who's your bias? I'm your bias. Hey, who's your bias? I'm your bias. Who's your bias?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Asian Glow Podcast. I'm your host, Clarence Angelo. And before I even pass it on to like the actual episode, I just wanted to say, I hope you guys are having a good day. And it's a new episode today. And I wanted this episode to kind of be one where we get to slow down. You know, a lot of what's been happening recently on the podcast has just been so chaotic, and a lot of stuff has happened for us in our personal lives that we're like obviously so grateful for, and like it's just been super busy. And I wanted this episode to kind of be one where we all get to just like slow down. And as much as like, you know, for all of us being a fanboy or a fangirl of like music and K-pop and art and all forms of it is like definitely a part of all of us, like it undeniably is only a fraction of who we really are. And I feel like I wanted this episode today to be a little bit of a step back and a slowdown from like the normal chit chattery and like whatever that we talk about. So before we even get into it, I just wanted to be like, guys, I want you to like be in like your comfiest outfit. And if you're at work right now, that's okay. Like maybe comfort is a mindset for you right now. But I wanted you guys to be like, I wanted this to be very much like, hey, let's like key and like have a little time to, you know, have snacks around the table, have chips and dip around the table, and we're all in like our hoodie and like the AC's turned up, and we're all just like a little cozy under our blankets and just like talking about life. Because I feel like I mean, the world is moving pretty freaking fast right now, and things are, the year is already almost halfway over, and I know I can't be alone in thinking that it's just been going by so quickly. And so I wanted you guys to know that this episode is kind of like a little different, and it's still authentically us, but I wanted it to slow down. And I think it's something that for those of you that are like very, very new to the podcast is gonna be like, whoa, like what? They have like a freaking they have like a freaking frontal lobe that's developed, like what? And then for those of you that are older, you guys will be like, I know a lot of you guys have also like grown up with me, even pre the podcast. So I guess consider this to be like an acknowledgement of like, hey girls, like we're growing up, and let's talk about like some like serious stuff, but not like so serious. Like it's still just life. And I just wanted this to be like a reminder that like this podcast is fun and games and like all of it as it is, it can still be like a place of help. Help and like knowing that you're not alone, obviously, in the ways of like, hey girl, like I'm crazy too about like how hot this idol is or how hot this song is, and like how bad I want to be sucking on this man. But also there's like a real part that's like, hey, like you're not alone in like being confused about adulting. You're also not alone in being confused about this thing about relationships and whatever. So I hope you guys enjoy. So let's get into this week's episode, and love you guys.
I'm your mucho picante.
Clarence Angelo.
I'm your Jean
Altresca.
And you're watching
Asian Glow podcast.
Guys, get your drinks up, and if you're at your work, you know, cubicle,
quit.
Go ahead.
Quit your job.
Go ahead and lift up that card covered in cocaine and cheers it with us.
Shall we?
We shall.
We shall.
I think that's good.
Hola, mi gente latino. Hola, mi gente latino. El paso de los. Hola, hola, army. Mucho picante. Mi gente Beyonce. Mi gente featuring J Balvin. Bad Bunny halftime
mi
show.
Mi gente J-pop. That's how it felt when we were talking to 108.
Oh my god, you guys don't know. So, Alchesca and I, you guys made a big fucking chungus mistake. You guys made a big fucking chungus mistake. You know how, like,
yeah, this is on y'all, because
you know how they say, like, no, okay, this is about to be a joke. I just want to make sure you guys know that I'm grateful and thankful, but, like, I need you guys to know, you know how, like, we see people like Emma Watson or, like, someone like Meryl Streep, and then people are like, oh, we made the right person famous. You guys made the wrong person
famous. You guys made the wrong people famous, because,
like, and when I say famous, I understand that we're, like, E-tier.
We're not even E-tier. Like, we're closer to, like, the
extraterrestrial.
The Q-line.
The Q-line.
We're closer to the Q-line, the L-line.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we met a J-pop group. Guys, like, and honestly, it was fucking tea.
No, thank you for the opportunity. Genuinely, no. Thank you for the opportunity, but holy shit.
And also, let me step back, and this is what this episode is about. Like, we've just been, like, so, like, go, 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 yeah. go, go, go. Like, this week was, you know, like, I truly think this week I learned, like, I love to work. Like, mm-hmm. I literally love to work, and, like, that's... I want to say it's in a non-capitalistic way, but there's so many things in my brain that are probably altered by capitalism and whatever. Yeah. But I truly love to work, and this week was one of those weeks.
Working is fun.
And
sometimes.
Yeah. Like Alyssa Liu said, there's nothing that makes her feel more alive than working. And I'm like, actually, that's very true. Yeah,
because she enjoys what she does.
Exactly. And so, like, anyways, we met a J-pop group. Crazy. Crazy.
Crazy. I can't...
Like...
I still haven't really wrapped my head around
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and, like, we met them... I did a dance with them. Alceska did a dance with them. Uh-huh. And then we proceeded to make other TikToks with them in the middle of Times Square.
In the middle of Times Square is, like, actually, like...
We had, like, multiple cameras on us. Like,
it's so insane. I don't know. Just thinking about it, I still really haven't processed it. But I was, like, me 3 years ago would not have imagined that for myself. I felt like a bossy-ass
little fucking bottom telling everyone what to do.
Like, yeah, Clarence was really running the show.
I was really running the show. And, like, I think I did okay. And, like,
we need two members. Two members now. No, literally.
I was, like, they were, like, what do you need? And I was, like, two members right here, right now.
Two members. We already did one with those. Two other members.
And, like... I was, like, I need them to think that we are on it. Because, like... Undeniably, I think when we meet anyone,
yeah.
we are very on it because yeah, yeah, yeah. we understand that
I feel like this is a business venture. We try to balance a good amount of, like, professionalism while still
being funny.
Being fun.
And so what Alceska was mentioning when I was saying my stupid Spanish, not saying that Spanish is stupid, but I was being stupid saying Spanish.
Because you don't speak Spanish.
In the middle of us introducing, they just throw us at them, by the way. They throw us at them to, like, dead silence and, like, introduce yourself to them. I go, hi, I'm Clarence.
Oh, wait, before this, they line up fucking military style.
And mind you, like, of course, these are J-pop artists, so, like, horny. Like, horny.
You are horny?
Like, they're hot.
Oh, fine, young man.
Yeah, girl. I thought my number when I saw the boyfriend. Girl, I saw one or eight of them. okay, so then I need to, like, keep a tally for, like, the bullshit fucking shit I say to celebrities. Like, I said, hi, I'm Clarence. Then some evil devil shows up on my shoulder. And then what proceeds to come out of my mouth is Watashi wa Clarence. And y'all know what they respond. Okay, actually, Alceska, take accountability. You said it too. You proceeded to say.
Okay.
No, I'm going to say something. Say what you said.
I genuinely appreciate Clarence saying that, because in my head I said, how the fuck do you say I am Alceska in Japanese? And so I was like, oh, he just figured it out for me. Well, don't you Alceska?
No, and, like, mind you, like, I have Rosetta Stone. And I've learned to say it.
Mind you were in Japan how many months ago?
Yes. I have Rosetta Stone. And Rosetta Stone is, like, harder than Duolingo. So, like, I know how to say it. And then Watashi no namae wa Clarence.
So what did we fucking say?
I am. But my name is... my name is whatever I just said.
Yeah,
but we said, I am this. So, like, Watashi wa Star is, like... Sorry, not to be that girl, I am Star. Like, I am Star.
I am Alceska. Is that... genuinely, that's, like, grammar wise
I think you're fine. Like, we're totally fine. But
yeah.
Then they proceeded to say, oh, hey, nice to meet you, my name is oh,
what? Yeah,
he said, bro, like, nice to meet you, bro. Bro, nice to meet you, bro. We were just eating at the Applebee's around the corner.
We were eating at the 7th Street Burger over there. We were getting the 3-piece chicken joy at Jollibee over there,
and I was like, bitch. Hi, have you ever been to New York? He was like, yeah, this is my third time, bro. Like, And I was like,
which I hate to say it, makes them hotter. Makes them a little hotter.
Yeah, made them a little hotter. Anyways, besides hashtag need that, go ahead and comment that while we can.
They were great. They were actually really nice, yeah, and like
wonderful.
Super accommodating to us. And yeah, our fucking stupidness.
Mind you, girl, like I was so, you guys will see it in the video whenever it gets approved, like whatever, but like
I was like nervous. Like, because I've never danced with a group like that before.
Yeah, we've never, you know, really done anything like moment? That. What?
Like, I think about this, like, this is truly my delusion. And, like, this is putting you into a part of my brain that I think very little people have been a part of.
Yeah.
But whenever stakes are high, this is, like, so gay. This is really gay.
Yeah.
Like, it's really gay.
Okay.
Whenever stakes are high, example, at a dance audition.
Yeah.
Or I'm trying to really motivate myself. Like at the gym to like finish 3 more reps, yeah, right? Or like whatever. And like this is like I hope you can relate.
I'm excited because
I think about myself if Ariana Grande was watching me. And that's my real truth.
Can you go further into that? Like I feel so, like that still is stakes are high.
No, exactly. So when stakes are high, there's no stake higher than if Ariana Grande is watching
me. Oh, okay. So in order, makes you lock in.
Yes, like when I got the Michael job, when I got the music festival job,
you were only performing.
I told myself at the audition that I am performing for Ariana Grande's tour.
Oh,
and then I got it.
Actually, I've been in that.
Who is it for you?
Too. It was more of like when my dad was auditioning me for like multiple shows. Like I would, the standard was always American Idol, and so I would only imagine Paula Abdul.
Because she's the warm one.
Because she's the woman. And so I was like, the only person
true.
I really have to impress. I didn't like really like in depth think about this when I was like 8. But I was like, the person I really, really only want to impress is Paula Abdul. I don't give a fuck about what Simon Cowell has to say. Or like, I don't give a fuck about what the other people have
the
to
white
say.
Man has to say.
Exactly.
Yeah. Simon Cowell, your proportions are weird. Okay. Recently, we, like I said, we've been like, go, go, go.
Yeah.
And like, I will speak on behalf of myself and myself only, but like, guys, like I'm 26 mm-hmm. and not just because about to turn 25.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, I just been feeling like recently, and like I was talking to my friends about this, Taylor and Lynn, mm-hmm. and I was like, I feel like where I am with content, and like a lot of the people in the Discord have like started to notice this, is like, people in the Discord, and I really, really, genuinely do appreciate this. It's like, hey, like, Clarence, we missed your solo episodes. Like, yeah. We miss advice, and, like, we miss,
yeah,
like, that side of your brain. And I think for me, like, undeniably, Asian Glow is something that I love, but I truly, like, right now feel like I'm only sharing a part, like, we've been, but mm-hmm. I'll speak on my own because I'll let you speak on, mm-hmm. on yourself. Just, like, only able to show a part of myself, you know, like I love being the fanboy. I want you guys to know this.
Yeah.
Like I really am a fanboy. I've been a fanboy since God knows the Cheetah Girls, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the first time I ever really understood that I was a fanboy, with High School Musical and Cheetah Girls and then One Direction and then, you know, the Naked Brothers
yeah.
band, all of that, you know. That's very much
pull.
Ingrained in my DNA.
Yeah.
But I think, guys, like, I will forever be the fanboy, but I do feel like I am almost trapped in this version of myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, where I do, like, what I say about idols and what I do about all that is
yeah.
very, very undeniably who I am.
Yeah.
But it does feel like now, with this being, like, a career and it being something that is consistent and like a part of my daily, it's starting to disconnect a little bit
mm-hmm.
with me. And like, I wouldn't say you guys have ever made me feel like I have to be talking about this, you know.
Yeah.
Undeniably there's times where like react to this, whatever, of course. But I think there is obviously like a sense of like undeniably like full accountability of like, hey, this does well for the sponsors. Yeah. This does well for the money of it all. This does well for the views of it all. And as, you know, low-key as embarrassing as it is to share that, like, that is truly something that every creator that I've been so graciously, like, able to meet falls into, you know? And I'd say, like, for today's episode, I really wanted to just, like, dial it back, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like so much of this episode is obviously being a fan, but when you think about it, that really is, like, the fan to artist dynamic is very much vertical. Like, mm-hmm. you as a fan are undeniably below the artist in the scope of like entertainment and whatever, yeah. right? Because without the fans, there is no artist, right? But that being said, it's almost like keeping me down. You know what I'm saying?
Being a fan,
yeah,
boy.
And like you guys know, of course, like I dance and like I undeniably believe that I am an artist outside of this too, but mm-hmm. not in the ways of like music, right? You know, like, but just in the ways of like creating. And I think that dynamic is something that I've recently, like since moving to New York and growing up, have been trying to get through, you yeah. know, like, I am a fan, but you know what? I am possible of more than yeah. just being someone else's support. Mm-hmm. You know, I have something to offer as well. And so, like, I think what I'm trying to get at with today's episode is, like, I want you guys to remember, like, with your favorite creators and, like, whatever, is, like, there is truly only so little that you see. And mm-hmm. it's important that you guys understand that, you know, as much as we want to keep you guys happy and, like, keep you guys laughing and giggly, because that's what this is all about, mm-hmm. there is a real side of it that where I feel because I only share that side of myself, I'm almost getting close to being inauthentic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what I don't want in this mm-hmm. podcast. That's never been what this podcast was about. And I think, especially given that it's AAPI month, it's more important than ever to, like, undeniably share every side of you that you are willing to, of course. And so, yeah, that's what today's episode is about. Like, we're doing a Q&A, but I don't know. Like, could you
yeah,
kind
no,
of...
Yeah, no, me and Clarence have, like, actually recently had a lot of conversations about what this podcast means to us now. Because it's truthfully grown up with us.
Yeah.
And has shaped a lot of, like, personally my decisions for, like, career. My decisions for, okay, how am I going to make my dream be my reality? Mm-hmm. And I'm, like, so grateful that we are in a position to do that and mm-hmm. like have each other to, you know, make our dreams like whatever we want them to be. And so this episode, I just feel like is going to be a release for the both of us, just because, again, the past few weeks have been so insane, and is a side that I knew that was or wanted to come. I was like, oh, I really want to like experience what it's like to be busy in New York, to like, you know, ride the train, like have a good like or have a destination to go to, do the work there, come back home and reflect on it all. But it's just been so back to back that I haven't had time to reflect and be like, oh, is like, I can't believe that this is my life. Like, yeah. What does this mean to me? How, what decisions am I going to make to extend this or, you know, whatever? But
yeah. And I think like, if you're listening to this, like obviously like tune it out whenever, but I want this to kind of be a arm, or like we're putting our hand out to the people that have been with us for a very long time.
Yeah,
and like,
which we appreciate. Like,
yeah. And like, we understand like that you're growing up. Mm-hmm. We are growing up too. And so like, we're like, you know what? Like, we owe this to
yeah.
our OG supporters and our new supporters and everything. It's like, let's just have a conversation about life, you
yeah,
know? And like,
at the end of the day, I feel like we have built this podcast to be your friend group to be like a kuya and ate figure, like whatever we're going through, if we're going through something hard, we have the space to talk about it.
Yeah, I just want you guys to know, like, this podcast is essentially like, it was never built only for K-pop, you know.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah. Like, there's no like mark line that says a K-pop podcast.
Yeah,
you know?
And like, that's what, if I'm being honest, like, that'll never really fill my cup.
Yeah, because like we are fanboy fangirls, but there is so much more to us than you know, that, even though we love showcasing
exactly
that side of us.
Yeah, okay, so anyways, that being said, we asked you guys to send questions, and mm-hmm. we're gonna answer some questions because, bitch, it's been like, it's graduation season, so I know a lot of you guys are coming into like being an adult,
which is so scary,
or are already an adult. So like, this episode, I think, like, if you choose to stay towards the end, like, you should come out with some, whether you're about to be an adult or you are an adult, like, you should come out with a new, like, sense of clarity for, mm-hmm. like, some questions that all of us constantly have to ask ourselves. Like, some of these questions, like, I've been asking myself since I was 22. Some of these questions I've been asking myself since I was in college, you know?
Yeah.
And me too. Like, constant reevaluation. So, like, the worst case scenario, it's just, like, a good, like, it's like a mental journal without actually having to write anything. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Okay. A lot of you guys are graduating college. First of all, congratulations. Or graduating high school. So there's a lot of shit that's going on. First is, I kind of wanted this video or this episode to kind of be like, things that I wish I learned are new when I graduated college.
Yeah.
Kind of in a way. And then we'll like kind of segment it. Like, we're really going to talk about almost everything in terms of like, what? Okay, while Squirty McSquirt finishes her fucking drink over here.
I spilled so much Sprite on myself.
We segmented the episode. Well, like, we literally talk about everything. Like, friendships, relationships, romantic relationships, relationships with your parents, your career, etc. So, like, just sit the fuck down and whip that dick out and start listening.
No, put it back in. Stop whipping your dicks out.
I mean, get your fondling
get
toy
the
out.
Get the pussies whipped.
First thing, I don't want this to be like, we're gonna skip over the easy shit. So,
what's
first
the
thing
easy shit?
I need to get out of the way is, when you graduate, let's just get the easy shit out of the way first. First, I think, get a fucking credit card. You need to get a fucking credit card. Like, guys, you need a credit card because you cannot buy a house or a car or anything without a credit card.
Yes.
Because you need a credit score.
If you don't have a credit card right now, it's okay. Ask your parents. Hey, why don't you give me any financial advice? Hey, why don't you help me? Why don't you take any financial advice classes to help your children?
It's literally fine. Like, I think there's also situations where, like, girl, Filipino parents don't fucking tell you shit.
Exactly. But, like, at the same time, we also recognize, as immigrants, you aren't really given the financial tools to be successful in this country.
Okay, gag,
but
gag.
You should get to that point so that you can set up your kin to be successful.
Yes. Okay, so here, just real quick, for the bitches that don't know, get a credit card. Even if you're in high school, get a credit card.
Yes.
Do not fucking max that shit. Don't piss me off.
Don't do it.
Okay. Just like older cousin shit. Older cousin shit.
Yes.
You get a credit card.
Yeah.
It'll help you get a credit score. What's a credit score, Clarence? Credit score will get, it's essentially like your reputation in capitalism. Imagine like,
yeah, it is.
It's your resume in capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
So like, the credit score is like, hey, wait, can you like vibe and like make sure that you pay me back? Because what a credit card is debt.
Yes.
So like, you're like, hey, I'm swiping away and I spent $400, but I'll pay it back to the bank whenever it gets to that time.
Yeah.
Which it will say on your app. If you continuously pay back on time, which you have to, guys, please. We can't let the white people only
not,
be winning this game.
Do not be paying the bare minimum either, mama.
Yes. Don't.
Do not do that.
Okay, don't do that because then you'll just have to pay more literally instantly. Okay.
It's like temporary, what is it, pleasure? Or like temporary easiness of your mind. Don't do that.
It's like putting a Band-Aid on when you get hit by a bus. It's like, don't do that. So, like, here is why. You're going to get a score. Right now, if you just open a credit card, you're going to have a pretty doo-doo fucking chungus credit score.
Yeah.
And that's totally okay.
Yeah.
Because you have no credit.
Uh-huh.
But you want to have, like, a certain credit score so that, like, when, let's say,
you want to buy a car.
Yeah. You have the finest hot girl at your fucking fingertips and you want to put a ring on it.
Yep.
and you're like, wait, I want to put a ring on it.
But
and
then
you're
going to
lay away your fucking thing.
Yeah.
They're going to look at your credit score. And if it says that you can't pay shit back, they're going to be like, bitch,
you're not
going to put a ring on it. And guess what? That guy who's selling you that diamond ring is going to start fucking your girlfriend. Don't let that happen. Don't let your girlfriend get fucked by the diamond guy. Like, what did I say? Don't let it happen.
Don't let jewelers near your girl, please.
Yes. But, like, truly, truly, like, my half-brother, Filipino, obviously.
Yeah.
He was like, wait, how the fuck did this shit work? And I was like,
oh, you were explaining this all to him.
You need to be on it. And, like, I realized, like, hey, wait, this is, like, gate-kept information. Like, truly gate-kept information. So, step one, get a credit card. Step two, Roth IRA.
Mm-hmm.
That's an investment account for when you're old. If you guys deadass want to be a fucking millionaire, this is a lot of money, but $7,500 is the most you can put in your Roth IRA every single year.
Mm-hmm.
If you start at the age of 22, guys, just trust me, if you put in like $200 a month into your Roth IRA, by the time you get it back when you're 58, you're going to be fucking loaded.
Like, you're going to be loaded boots.
What I put in high school now is, I think, 18 times how much I put in high school.
Congratulations.
So then, I'm just gonna let you know, it's never too late unless you're like already like fucking 40. So sorry. But like, I mean, it's not too bad. But like, girl, just fucking get it started.
Yeah.
If you are 22, do it at this very fucking second.
Log off right now.
Do it at this very second.
Go open your fucking account.
And I used, I should get paid for this. I use Schwab.
Okay.
As my app. You guys can just look up. You stupid bitches. Use fucking whatever stupid AI thing you guys are using nowadays. Because God knows half you guys are still using it. Even though everyone cancels people for using it, they still have 3 billion users every fucking minute. That has to be one of y'all. And be like, hey, I want to start this.
Yeah.
Boom. Download the app. Put in $200.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, that's a lot. I know. But just put it in, and you're going to be pleasantly surprised when you're old. And then you're like, wait, I didn't have the diamond guy take my freaking beautiful wife.
Now I'm freaking married to her.
Yeah, and I'm freaking married to her. And I'm literally
I'm in a penthouse,
and I'm literally getting pegged by her in a penthouse. Like, this is a dream. Last one. High yield savings account. I still need to do this.
Me too.
I actually still need to do this one. And I'm going to be very honest. I have the app. I actually have everything ready to go. It's just like, I'm like, wait, like, low-key, my rent's kind of crazy in New York. But I'm going to pinky promise, guys. Pinky's up.
Pinky's up.
We're starting a high-yield savings account by the end of May. Perfect. There we go.
Yeah.
AAPI month for everyone. The present that we're all going to give to ourselves, a high-yield savings account.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just
now
get that out of the way.
That is all out of the way.
I've never talked finances on this, and I think you guys forget that stupid, like, fanboy, like, gooner, Jim and fan Clarence.
Went to business school.
I went to business school.
Went to IU business school.
I went to
school.
Real capitalism, pro-capitalism business school.
Yeah. Your financial advisor right now, your bank teller right now, was actually in Clarence's class.
Like, and you guys will thank me fucking later. And I will bask in the day that I'm 58, and then you guys comment on my like, I don't know, 4D in meta. You guys meet me in the metaverse and tell me thank you so much when we're all floating in space as like fat people on like a fucking
Wall-E.
You guys will roll up in your fucking hovercraft and be like, Clarence, you literally have me.
Guess what? I just, like, bought myself a new planet.
Yeah, because I use Schwab investments. Like, you guys will thank me later. Okay. That's adulting thing number one. Now we're gonna get into your questions. And I want you guys to know that this is not like real fucking like professional advice. This is just from
it's really just a sleepover between your two cousins.
Yeah, we're having a key.
Yeah.
We're having a career key, a relationship key.
Let's have a kiki.
I wanna have a kiki.
Lock the doors.
Tight.
Let's have a kiki.
I wanna have a kiki.
Mother?
I'm gonna let you have it.
Let's have a kiki. I wanna have a kiki. It's turkey lurkey time.
It's turkey lurkey time. Let's get into your questions. As a really great segue, how do you know what you want to do with your life? Someone asked, hey Clarence, how do you know what you want to do with your life?
Right.
How do you know what you want to do with your life?
When did you figure out
what I want to do with my life?
Yeah.
I'm still figuring it out. I think that's my honest answer. My honest answer is truly, truly process of elimination. Experience. Okay. You just gotta keep doing shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, you truly... I saw this quote that was, like, the way that you connect your head with your heart, which is, like, your thoughts with your soul, is through your feet.
Yeah.
And through your feet. You get that? Like, get up.
Yeah.
Get up, girl! Stop humping on ugly chuds and start figuring out what you want! That's what I have to say.
Okay.
Like, I truly... I think I've done a lot, like,
in terms of, like,
my career,
finding out. Okay.
I worked in fintech, didn't like it. Worked in banking, didn't like it. Worked for the automotive industry, didn't like it. Worked in website design, what? Didn't like it. Worked for petroleum. I know, guys, that's really fucking bad.
Whoa.
And I didn't like it. And then I worked in AI, which I didn't know was AI at the time. I thought it was a startup. And then the startup, as all of them do, start adapting
AI. To AI, yep.
Didn't like it. Hated it so bad. And then I was like, you know what? I've always been a fanboy. Let's just be stupid on the internet.
Yeah.
And then it kind of just became like a sink or swim thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
my honest answer is truly experience. You cannot think your way into knowing what you want to do in life, because that is quite literally, I would say, 2% of the entire experience.
Yeah.
Thinking what you want to do, people are like, oh, like, you got to think for... I actually truly, truly believe that that gets you 2% there.
What do you mean? Like, thinking about doing this experience, or just thinking?
I think,
because I feel like there's like, you can think about an experience and be like, oh, I don't know if I really like this, if you know yourself enough.
But you can't do so. You can't think about it. I truly think that if you're thinking about it before you actually do it, that's way less productive than thinking about it after you've already done it.
Yeah,
in terms of your career,
I think so too. I feel like there's such, like, a time slot and how much you can experience in X amount of time, so I'm full, like, just go do it, like, just do it.
I think, like, 26 frontal lobe. Oh my god, girl, you're almost there. Are you excited?
I think doesn't the women's develop at 25 and then the men is 26?
Men was 27 usually, but gay is different.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Scientifically proven?
Yeah.
Wow.
And ADHD also makes it last longer. But I don't think I have ADHD. I think I'm just actually crazy.
I don't... No.
I don't think... I have friends with ADHD and
I don't think you have ADHD. I also don't think you're crazy. I think that COVID just set us back like, a lot mentally. So a lot of us are still, like, mentally exactly. 22, 21.
And that's what I was going to say. I think that this... Our generation, like, so heavily... prioritizes and values thinking, and, like, of course I like the pro of it is that we critically think very well. I think Gen Z critically thinks very well.
Same.
Like, we are less likely to be, you know, sheeple minded kind of. But where I think it's wrong is, or, like, where we could develop is, like, because COVID was all about thinking, there was no doing. The years that we would have been doing, we didn't have.
Yeah.
So then the importance of doing, it's not clocking to us that doing is standing on business.
All right.
That's what I'm saying. Like, truly, like...
A bunch of people watching just now just went...
But, like, what have you actually... What the biggest things you've learned in life? Mm-hmm. Like, think about all of them. Did you learn them from sitting in your room, or did you learn them from actually getting up?
No, you just have to get up and do the thing that you were thinking about.
And if you hate it, guess what? Chop, Tara.
Yeah, now... Now you know.
Yeah,
now
what's the worst someone's gonna say? Stupid, chopped, ugly, and then move on. Girl, yeah, call me stupid, chopped, and ugly. Like, I can move on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's a bunch of it is just, like, do... Oh my god. A lot of it from, like, my perspective, I am such a thinker and then not really much like a doer. But I'm trying to get out of that mindset. But a lot of it is overcoming being embarrassed.
It's overcoming being embarrassed, and also... One thing that I'd clock is, like, what makes you jealous? Like, what...
Oh, like...
With other people, what makes you jealous? And maybe, like, let's say you're jealous that you saw this person sewed a cool dress. or you thought you were jealous because they got to attend this event, mm-hmm. right? That could be a signal that you actually like whatever that
yeah
is.
You want to do that thing
exactly. So like
I had that thought literally a couple weeks ago.
What makes you jealous?
Yeah, someone was like, oh, I bought this top at the thrift store, and I just sewed it to be whatever I wanted. And I was like, oh man, I wish I could do that. What right? did I do? I bought a sewing kit.
Exactly. And you could think about how you could do it, but you bought it.
Period. Yeah. I can only think about so much stuff until I actually materialize what it is and actually put it in front of me.
Yeah. Someone asked, also on the topic of career, advice for building self-confidence.
I think that I get a lot of self-confidence with having showing myself that I'm capable of doing this thing. So for example, driving from Texas to New York was an act that I didn't think I could do for myself, just because I was scared. What if my car runs out of gas? How do I even get myself a car? I did all of those things. So I proved to myself that, oh my God, I'm confident enough to do this thing. And when I went back to my parents and then talked about traveling and driving to New York, my mom was like, you are my strongest kid.
Oh.
And so it was just very validating.
Well, your mom said that to you?
Yeah. She was like, I know, it was really nice. She was like, you are really my strongest kid. I could not even imagine
your Wait, cousin that's doing so that. Cute, because you're the middle kid too.
I know, it was so nice. And such a middle kid cliche.
It was like a mommy moment.
Yeah. We were eating Levain cookies and she was like, you're my strongest kid. It was so nice.
I would have cried on the spot. No, I would have clocked her with my fist. Don't fucking say that shit to me ever again.
No, I literally said, I know. So it's stuff like that. When I lived in my apartment back in Texas, I was like, man, I really want to learn how to bake this thing, whatever. And I was like, oh, I literally have everything I can to do that. Let me just do it. And then I did it.
You know what? I've actually noticed that too.
So it's a lot of
I've known Alcheska obviously since middle school.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like I've seen you take up more hobbies.
Yeah.
Hey, I started this thing. And I was like, whoa, gag, girl. fucking gag. Whereas before it would be dude, look at this TikTok of this brownie. Yeah. Now you're like, hey, bitch, look at these brownies I made. And I'm like, gag.
Yeah, because don't know. It's just being able to do things with my hands specifically. I feel like that is such a...
That's so we can do it coded. You know, the lady, the we can do it lady?
Right here.
So we can, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of women are told that they can't do this thing because of the law, because of that they're a woman. That I'm like, bitch, I literally have the same... our hands are the same size.
Yeah, what she's getting at is kind of what I was going to get mm-hmm. on this question too, is how you build your self-confidence is of course, there are the larger events such as moving to another city or whatever, you know, all of this. But I think truly the self-confidence comes from the smaller things.
Mm-hmm.
What will destroy your self-confidence, at least for me in my experience, is if I put things on my planner for the day and that whole checklist isn't done, that will be something that bothers me.
Mm.
And do I know that that's destroying my self-confidence? No. But let's say I go out at night after not finishing what's on my planner.
Yeah.
In my brain, what's going to happen is I'm going to be out and I'm going to still remember how I have one or two more boxes I need to check.
Yeah.
Which will then make me less present with my friends, which will then make me feel like I'll wake up the next morning being like, wait, I felt like I was not present with my friends the entire time.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel like a bad person, which all of that will just will destroy your self-confidence instantly, you know?
Yeah.
I think, also on the other side of it is with bigger events, like moving to a city,
right?
Or, things like taking up a new hobby or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What has helped my self-confidence is oftentimes when something new or big like that happens in my life, it's because something was the catalyst to it, right?
Okay.
A lot of times people will leave a city if a friend group falls apart, or if they feel or if they go through a breakup, you know? And I think something that has helped me is, like, I need to think about, like, why I'm moving to a city. Mm-hmm. Like, am I escaping, like, a shameful thing I did in a previous city? Oh. Or am I escaping, like, the feeling of shame of being, like, ah, like, I'm, like, I feel like a loser here, like, whatever. I feel like you need to resolve those issues first before actually taking on a larger thing.
I agree. I fully, fully agree.
Because you will bring that shame with you no matter where you go.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter what city you move into, like, whatever. Like, you could be like, oh, I'm moving here for, like, this man that I met, like, whatever. Like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
You know, like, is it because you are so shameful to look single? You know, or is it because in your brain, like, the ideal situation is my life needs to look like a movie to everyone else? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that, all that deep down, we all know is a bunch of bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And so if your life is, like, on a pile of bullshit, you can't help but have low self-confidence.
Yeah.
So, like, it's both in the minor things. But then in the major things, I would say that's where there's a lot of reflection that has to be done. That's my thoughts on it. Now we're going to move on to friendships. Okay?
Oh, God.
Okay. Alcheska. I'm kidding. Okay, girl. The next question was, someone asked, what is your advice when you're getting ignored or left out of your friend group? Literally. Just...
Honestly, if I feel like I'm
getting... Have you experienced this? I hate to interrupt. I've experienced it
more than
I could ever
really?
Explain. More than I could ever explain. And that's the gay experience. That's the gay POC experience. You're constantly in the middle of a... What's the intersectionality?
Yeah, I feel like as a POC, I had little instances where that was like where I was being singled out for being Asian or being Filipino, whatever. But if I am in like an adult friend group where we all are like, yay, diversity, like there's really no exclusions, but I'm still intentionally being left out. My initial thought is nothing about me, because I feel like I know myself to a point where like, oh, I feel like I'm great. And I feel like I have brought, you know, my brain and my talents to this friend group. And if they're not going to reciprocate that, then that's kind of like the ball is in their court. Like, that's on them.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, I'm like, oh, maybe this just isn't the friend group for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so then that's when I'm like, okay, I'm just going to see myself out. Because if I'm not being respected in a friend group, then they don't kind of deserve my respect. I feel like I don't want to be in a position that's like pleading someone, please let me in.
Yeah.
When the door is like, when they're not even going to open the door.
I agree. And like, that's what I was going to say. Like,
yeah,
a denied respect that's mm-hmm. like truly answer that question to you, or is it that you're not getting enough attention? That's like truly the question. It's like, if you're not getting enough attention, then ask yourself why you need that.
Yeah.
And then two, if it's respect, then that's just basic kindness. And like, you know, like if they're, I would say like disrespecting your property or disrespecting like your identity in any way, like that's something where it's like, okay, this is like something I need to, for my own peace of mind,
mm-hmm.
leave. However, I would truly ask yourself, like, there could be a situation where maybe you hurt someone's feelings, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe
there was, like, a negative thing that happened and that's why people are excluding you, then I feel like that needs to be addressed from you.
Yeah, and I would argue that 9 times out of 10, you're going to know if you hurt someone's feelings.
Exactly.
But if not, and you are very honest with yourself and you don't, I would just ask.
Yeah, and just ask.
That's when you know if you should leave or not. If they tell you why, then it's your decision. If they don't tell you why, then that's not your friends necessarily.
Yeah.
Or you just gotta move on. Like, that truly is a situation. And, like, the last question I would ask is, like, why do you think your life is better in this relationship with these friends?
Yeah.
And is it something that truly feeds, like, the most genuine, authentic part of you? Like, if you told your younger self that you're friends with these people, would you be happy?
Mm-hmm.
And then that is like something to consider, like when you're, you know, being left out. But I think that, like, the last thing I'll say is, like, a lot of you guys are LGBTQ plus or and POC, like right in the fucking intersection of it all, which is crazy to me when I think about how large the podcast is.
Yeah.
Because like that is such a minority within a minority within a minority.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like it has just become this like wonderful, wonderful thing. And like I'll literally cry at the thought of it. But like, let me just say this for like my gay girls, my gay boys out there. Like they're... is undeniably, unfortunately, going to be an experience where, like, you don't fit into either thing, you know? You're not girly enough to be a girl, and you're not manly enough to be a man. But that's when you really gotta dig deep into, like, what fills your cup, you know?
Yeah.
It is never going to be the male validation, and it's never going to be the female validation. It's going to be something in between. It's going to be, like, something that is not anything to do with gender, you know? I think... where I find value for all the gays out there is, like, it's going to undeniably be more difficult to find that sense of, like, where you fit in with friend groups. Like, I think in my experience, I think I fell out of, I could probably count at least, like, 8 or 10 friend groups in my entire life. Like, so many.
Entire life? Like, yeah, honestly, I'd probably say that my... number is kind of close.
Yeah, like it's gonna be high, especially if you're a POC, you know. But I do want you guys to realize that, of course, this being said, like, you didn't treat anyone like with utmost like dirt and like whatever. Like, each one is refining you to be closer to people who truly see, like,
just that truly see you.
Yeah, exactly. And the good thing is, like, as generations go by, I found that a lot of the gay girls and the gay boys are starting to find it sooner.
Yeah, which, thank God.
Which is great. Because I truly feel like I didn't find my people, my tribe, like, my true, true tribe until I was a senior in college. Like, my true tribe. And, like, I wouldn't say I talk to them every single day, but, like, those are the people that I've really felt like, well, I am seen inside and out, you know?
Like, is that like a friend group or is it multiple people?
It's multiple people, you know?
Me too. I didn't find mine until probably my like junior or sophomore year of college.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of trial and error to do that.
Exactly. And the last thing I'll say is, like, your biggest friend in life will be yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, at the very least, just recognize that you are getting closer to something that's much more fulfilling to your soul.
Yeah.
But you can't find friends who recognize you if you don't know what needs to be recognized. Like, if you don't know yourself, or if you're not trying to know yourself, then you'll never know exactly what really, like, hits the spot.
Hits the clit.
Hits the G. Hits the S spot. The soul spot. Someone asked, how to get over a friendship breakup? She was toxic, but I still miss having a best friend. I think we low-key touched on this.
Oh my God. There is one friend that I can think of that it hurts my soul immediately because it feels so unresolved.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, it hurts so bad. Just because...
Let's talk through this. So what actions?
She wasn't toxic, but she was going
toxic tendencies with men.
Yes. And it was like getting to a point where I was even questioning, like, am I wrong for thinking that you deserve like a person who's gonna pay for your food, a person who's gonna like be nice to your mom? Like, is that crazy for me to think? I feel like it isn't. And so getting over that friendship, the reason why it feels so unresolved to me is because the last conversation that we had was, yeah, we should totally get coffee.
Mm.
And then it just, like, nothing really happened. And then
it was
happened.
Like, it'll be a Wednesday. I'll be going in this coffee shop. Oh, my God.
It was...
hear the barista call an oat milk latte in your name, and I look up from my phone and think there's no chance it's you, but it's you.
No, that song isn't about a man for me. It's about her.
Aww. Oh, my God. Okay, so wait.
It's so
how
sad.
To get over it? I guess we don't know.
I personally don't know. I really think there is some truth in time will heal.
Have you reached out to her? Do you care to?
I personally, I have.
Oh, and no response.
I have. There hasn't been a response.
And that's okay. Let them. Get the balls out of your court.
That is the solution. That really is the solution. Because if I feel like I've done whatever I can on my end to reach out to you, and then I'm hit with nothing, then it's just like, okay, I understand like where you see our friendship and like where like you're comfortable with ending it like this. Okay.
Hate to see the patriarchy win.
Hate to see it. Oh my fucking god. And you know what sucks? This is awful. She has a tattoo for our friendship.
No. Really? And you don't.
Well,
that says a lot.
Well, so okay,
like, so that's why, like, she didn't fucking respond. Yeah, bitch.
I'm like, so I'm not really toxic, but I didn't actually get the matching tattoo that we said we were gonna get. Yeah.
Well, I didn't want to get the fucking pussy lip tattoo that she got, like
her name and a fucking heart on my arm.
Okay, so on the other side of it, I don't know if this helps. Literally last night, I had a rekindling of a friendship breakup that was about a year.
Wow. Yeah. Really?
Yeah, rekindling. So,
oh my god.
I will all spare the all the details, but I had dinner last night with one of my friends who we had like a full on like,
yeah,
it wasn't pretty, it wasn't cute, it was essentially like a moment,
but it was real.
I felt super disrespected, and like I was like, I brought it up, and then the response wasn't what I really wanted to hear.
Yeah.
And then this person ended up moving to New York, and I was like, oh, I reached out.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this. I reached out and said, heard from the birds that you are in the city. Food can be ass here. So if you need a rec, here's some recs.
Yeah.
And then I was like, let's whatever.
Yeah.
Went to a dance class, saw this person in the dance class, and I was like, whoa. And then I went to go talk to one of my friends. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to try to rekindle.
Yeah.
Time goes by, we have dinner, and essentially, like, I own up to, like, okay, we had a conversation, I felt like this was, I was disrespected, and, like, it never really, and then I essentially truly apologized. I said, I was like, because of X event, I didn't ever want to support you ever again. I was like, everything that you did, I didn't want you to succeed.
Yeah,
it was like that. Damn. It was like literally like that. And I was like, and I told this person, because they were talking about how
you told them that.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I told this person, or this person was telling me about how they moved to New York because they felt this lack of support from people from there,
that same situation. Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what, like, actually I felt the same thing. So I'm sorry for being a part of that. And I was like, you know, like, you could have been supported by someone. Like, we used to, like, get drinks together. We used to, like, be girls.
Yeah, yeah.
And then yesterday was, like, a whole thing. Like, it was actually so emotional. Yeah. And, like, we were, like, talking about it. We, like, cried a little. And then we, like, hugged it out. And, like, I always say this. Like, you can forgive someone. It doesn't mean you have to, like,
accept them fully into...
You don't have to get lunch with them.
Yeah.
You don't have to sit down for lunch and dinner with them, even if you forgive someone.
Yeah.
And, like, I think in this situation, I was actually, like, I don't need to sit down. But it happened. And I would say, like, right now, like, I wouldn't say, like, we're, like, whoa!
We're back, yeah.
But it is equivalent to, like, the feeling of almost coming out. Like, it's, like, weight off your shoulders.
Yeah.
It's, like, crazy release, you know? Yeah. So, anyways.
Well, I honestly think that that's really nice.
I will say that if there is a
opportunity
to rekindle, and like it is truly based off of like enough time and whatever,
yeah,
there will 1000% be something that both of you need to apologize for.
Yeah.
So then for sure. That's my advice for that.
Yeah. I feel like if I was given the opportunity to, like, maybe I need to create that opportunity again. Like, a couple years have passed, honestly. But given the opportunity to, like, see her, I would do it.
Yeah.
Oh, I would do it. No questions asked.
Now we're going to get into...
Ouch! Are you okay?
See, guys, that's what a situationship feels like.
A stub toe. It'll go away. But it fucking sucks.
But it hurts in the beginning. But then it starts to feel...
But then it starts to feel really good.
A situationship is like a stub toe, because it starts off with a moan and it hurts. And then you're like, wait, it's fine. And then... you wake up the next morning, you're like, ow. Someone ask. Hey guys, that situationship looks mighty appealing to me right now. Not gonna lie, girls, can I get some help? One of my most successful stories was a situationship turned relationship.
Okay.
And I actually, here's genuine, guys, this is, I should charge you guys for what the fuck I'm about to say.
What?
This helped numerous amounts of my friends.
Okay.
It has helped them endlessly get into a relationship or redirect themselves to
understand
the person.
That they don't want to be with that situation.
To the right person.
Okay.
The question that always ends a situationship is the what are we, right?
Yes.
And I think the what are we is super social media. Like, it's like, then I ask them the what are we question. Shut the fuck up.
But I feel like that's still a valid question.
That's how you should ask it, though.
Okay.
Bow, bow, bow. So, this was from a book.
Okay.
From a psychiatrist about relationships. Works with marriage counseling.
Okay.
So, like, that should help. I would give you the source, but I don't really remember. So, you go up to a person and you think about your relationship in stages. One is attraction, mm-hmm. which is a crush. It's like, oh, I see you. I kind of like what I'm seeing. That's step one. That's all it is. Phase two is mutual attraction. You both like what you're seeing, and then you're kind of like, okay, like, let's lick and suck on each other a little bit. Third
Valid.
One is commitment.
Yeah.
And the fourth one is, like, synergy. What do you call it? I'm thinking of the word.
Synergy.
Compatibility.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Commitment, compatibility are two separate things. Commitment is just the commitment to know each other. Compatibility is everything else of, like, can we live good together?
Oh,
are we?
Okay.
And that's the shit that you do when you're already boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah.
Commitment is becoming boyfriend and girlfriend. And I think a lot of people get this shit mixed up. So where you are in a situationship is only step two, right? So why people are so frustrated with a situationship is because they often want it to be step three.
Yeah.
Where there's a committed thing, right? And so the secret to it is truly that you want exclusiveness, right?
Yeah.
And so you go up to them, and I've literally used this, and I've done this, and it worked perfectly. This is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you. I realize I've been putting in a lot of time and putting in a lot of effort into this, and I realize I only would be putting this much time and effort into someone that I really care about, and like something that someone that I would want to see something further with, you know? And then you go on to say, I just want to know, like, are you talking to anyone else? Like, it's totally okay if you are. This is very important. It's like you say, it's totally okay if you are. I just need to know because I think I would like this to be a bit more intentional. And I just wanted to know if, like, we're kind of on the same page.
Yeah.
Say whatever. Say whatever you're going
to
say.
I am not talking to anyone else.
Okay. In that situation, it would be, okay, that's great. I'm not really talking to anyone else either. I just want to know, like, are we not talking to anyone else because there's no one else that's really piquing your interest, or like, you're no one else really hot, or is it because like of us? Like, is it based on us?
It's because of us.
Boom. Then
it's
in that situation,
it's like a fucking mind map, bro.
Then in that situation, there's like immediate exclusivity.
Yeah, but right? Let's backtrack.
Imagine you say,
I am talking to someone else.
At that point, when you have that conversation, you already know, like, I want this.
Mm.
And back to that self-confidence thing, you have to fulfill on that promise of what you told yourself. Like, you've thought about it so much that you're at this point.
Yeah.
I literally did this. Their response was, I'm not talking to anyone else, but I think it's just because, like, no one else is really piquing my interest, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, okay, like, so intention, is that, like, something that, you know, like, we could do? Because I think I value my time a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, I can equate my time to be with friends, and it's very valuable to me. And, like, I can equate my time to money because of work.
Yeah.
And, like, I want to give you my time, but I can only give this time to someone who is
going to reciprocate that.
Who values it just as much as I do.
Yeah.
And you could say something along the lines of, instead of being like, I need you to do this, you say, I'm really excited to be with a partner who is that for me.
It's just the wording.
It's all about the wording. Yeah. Yeah. Instead of like cornering them, you say like, I'm excited to have a partner who's like this. So then instead of cornering them, you're giving them a stair to step on.
Yeah. With the emotional attachment, like, oh, I'm excited for this.
Yeah.
It's then on them to be like, oh, I want to be that excitement for you. I want to be a part of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When this person said, no, I'm not talking to anyone else, I immediately was like, okay, I completely understand. And like, I think with that being said, like, I'm going to do my own thing. And like, I've really enjoyed our time together, but I'm gonna do my own thing. And you're like, it was nice meeting you. And you get up and leave.
Yeah.
And you get up and leave.
Yeah.
And it worked. And when that happened, likely something's going to happen in the other partner, whether or not they agree, or the other situation is that they're going to be like, wait, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
In my situation, it was something along the lines of like, wait, I still want to spend time. And then I was like, no, like, intention is very important for me.
Yeah.
And like, that's really, I can't just have this go anywhere. And so I can't really like,
I don't want to cater to
I added this and I said, you wanting to spend more time with me is a bit confusing because I've stated I also wanted to. But without intention, it, to me, respectfully, just kind of feels like you're in need of attention. And I am that source of attention for you.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be that.
Yeah. Because then it's like kind of disrespectful for yours. For yourself. But
you're not saying I feel disrespected. You're saying this is what I'm thinking.
All the wording is just like for them to just be reflective on themselves.
Yeah.
Because. And
it's also important to always say like, I think I might be right or wrong. I'm not sure. Yeah. Because it, like, it's, that's what it is. Like,
yeah. I don't know, it's just a very right like neutral standpoint. Yeah. Like almost like a third person watching over like this situationship happening.
Yeah. But anyways, that was from, I learned that from the Mel Robbins podcast. Love her. Okay, that's my advice about that. Hopefully that helped.
The first half, we were really not giving
up. No, we were like really just fucking talking about how we're looking and sucking on our situationships.
Oh my god, my situationship was horrible. Did I tell you? I'll tell you this one thing. When we got to the point of, hey, what is this? I phrased it, what is this? Because I was 19.
No, well, I mean, you replicate what you see in the movies.
Yes, I was 18. I was a baby. And then this person does this.
Deca. What's that? Triangle? Deca?
This person does this. And then he was like, this is strangers. This is friends with benefits. And this is relationship. I think that we're like maybe right here.
In between strangers.
No, sorry. Maybe right here.
What the fuck? Was he Filipino?
Yes!
Stupid ass Filipino fucking.
He said, maybe we're right here. And I was so, at that time of my life, needed him bad. Like, I wanted him so bad. I said, I think I agree. Like, we are there.
That's not it.
But my mind was like so right here. And then the following month-ish, it was just like, validating.
Yeah.
It sucked so fucking bad. And then I broke up with him at 4 a.m.
And let me finish that. My situation. Homie pulled up to my door 3 hours later with an apology.
Yep.
And I said, bow! Bow! Someone asked.
Jesus Christ.
Someone said, I'm 24 and my parents still view me as a kid. Or I feel like it. How have you navigated having Asian parents growing up and maturing? We're going to talk about this from a very Filipino perspective. But like, that's so Filipino for a parent. Mm-hmm. To, you know, even my... No, I'm out of that, actually.
Yeah. I'm big boy now. Big dick boy. Big dick son.
We're going to get all the funnies out of the way because someone's going to start crying.
Here's a better way. I think what they're asking is, how did you, or have you, or are you continuously actively working on no longer being a kid to your parents?
I do that. I honestly think that I do that every single day. Like,
you're still doing it.
Yes, I think I still do. We got to a point during COVID, actually, where the family was like going through very difficult times, like emotionally, like financially even. And so we just like had a sit down talk being like, why aren't you sharing the struggles that you two as parents with your kids? Because we all live in the same household. We see everything that's happening because we're in such close proximity with each other. Like, put this burden onto us. And it was my parents being like, we are your parents. We don't want to share any of that with you because we're taking on the role of taking care of you. But at that point, I had to realize that my parents, like, or our parents, like our generation's parents, are the sandwich generation. And do you know what that is? The sandwich generation is like a group of people roughly around the ages of like 40 to like 59, like 45 or something, who are in the position of simultaneously taking care of their children while taking care of their old parents. And so like they're sandwiched in between having to share that care to.
But is that not all of, isn't that not gonna be us too?
I think it's specifically like you are taking care of like your dying parents,
like is that your not aging be us too,
yeah, yeah. So like the sandwich generation I think is not like a specific people, like it's when
it,
we
it
are
evolve, you
yes,
become the sandwich
when
generation.
We are 40 to 50 we are going
okay,
to
okay,
be
okay.
Sandwiched.
Yeah, yeah, I see.
And so like that was really something that I had to understand because I was pushing so hard, like, hey, why aren't you sharing any of this, like anything that's happening in the Philippines with us, like we want to help. That they were still dealing with everything that was happening emotionally, yeah, that they couldn't bear the thought of even bringing that on to like their okay. kids. And so that's when I was like, damn, I was being mean to my parents. Like I thought I was like in
wait,
a way,
how are you being mean? You were saying that
because
you-
I was pushing, because I was like pushing so hard, like why aren't you sharing that? It's like someone just being aggressive, like wanting to get into your mind, like why are you sad about this thing, and you being like, I don't want to share that, but then they keep pushing. And so it, maybe mean is not the right word,
I know what you're
but
saying.
I was just like forcing
naive.
On yeah
you
I
were
was
young.
Just yeah I was just young and I was forcing a conversation that my parents weren't really ready for.
Yeah. And truly, like, I don't really think you had much.
I didn't have
power over it either because it was COVID.
Yeah, it was COVID, and I didn't have like a lot of information to go off of other than I see that my parents are sad.
Yeah.
And that's when me and my siblings had to have a conversation, like, we can be nice to our parents, like we can take care of breakfast, we can pay for the lunch bill, we can like give them flowers once in a while, but what does it mean to be like kind to your parents? And I'm still kind of trying to figure that out. It's kind of hard because we are all so spread across the country, but just understanding as COVID ended and I like lived into my first apartment, my parents moved away, my sister moved away, like your parents are still trying to figure out how to be kind to their kids and like to themselves, like giving them enough grace when they've like as immigrants had to carry on this burden of taking care of their family up until like we're 30 or whatever, where they yeah. can finally relax. It's just, it's such a hard thing to wrap their head around. So like I had to sort of own up to being like more gracious to my parents, yeah. just like lending them the, or giving them the permission to, like say like, you can come to me with emotional things if you want to.
I mean, I completely agree.
Yeah.
To cater it back to just like, I think the issue of, your parents still view you as a kid.
Yeah.
Like being kind versus being nice, like what you mm-hmm. said, is something where I have experienced the opposite almost, where it is undeniable Asian household that you must respect your parents and you must respect the elderly. And
yeah.
I 100,000% agree.
Mm-hmm.
Where I think it is, and this is undeniably a very Western take, what I'm about to say, or I think in America, you can thrive,
mm-hmm.
is understanding that being kind does not include being nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just give you a life example where yeah. it's like,
something nice I did was I got an internship in tech.
Yeah. Nice towards
because it was
your parent.
It was pleasing my parent be like, he's in tech. Mm-hmm. But then it ended up being this whole thing where, like, I fucking hate this. Like, me and my mom had a whole argument about it.
Yeah.
Where because I was you like, weren't happy. I only got these things to make you quiet so that you wouldn't have to, like, stress about to your friends that I was failing or something, you know? And, like, I remember, like, specifically there was one moment I always wanted to do stuff with the camera and I was never allowed to. I wanted to major in film. I never got to. I wanted to major in something with entertainment. I never was able to. I had to do business.
Yeah.
I thought it was my most general way to enter film. Still bought a camera on my own, did whatever. Didn't really tell her I was starting a channel. I didn't tell her I was making TikToks whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then when the time came that a film festival happened and I did well at the film festival, I remember specifically my mom was like, why don't you do film?
Oh, God.
And in that moment, I recognized, like, the kind versus nice thing. Mm-hmm. Because I was only being nice to you, I was actually being unkind because now I'm angry.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I actually, like, I was 22 at the time and I said, you're the reason why I didn't do this film thing. And look, I still did well at a film festival without any of your support. Like, I was, like, truly
angry.
And, like, the natural Filipino reaction is what? Oh, so I fucked up as a mom my whole life. I fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
I hate that response. And that
conversation is truly what I think made me separate the kid and the adult. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't blow up on her. It was actually that she was blowing up on me.
When I told her I'm the worst.
Yeah. And I was like, is there anything that, like, you need me to do? I was like, I'm not going to yell at you back.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm just telling you that this was factually what happened.
Yeah.
And I don't resent you for it. I'm just going to tell you that there was a good amount of feelings throughout my college career where I was like, I wish I could have done this.
Yeah.
And, like, fact is, like, I would sneak into the film school sometimes and it was because I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I think the difference, and this is what I was saying in, like, a book. Oh my God, I just read this to you. I just finished a book, guys. I told you guys about The Velvet Rage. This is, and we'll end on this. Contentment, this is a quote from the book, The Velvet Rage. It says, the process of emotionally maturing, discovering the authentic nature of ourselves happens slowly over time. However, it is an extremely important process. If we are ever to experience lasting contentment in life, this is the part that I remember the most. Contentment, as it seems, is the one thing that remains just out of reach of an adolescent.
Yeah.
And so essentially what it's saying is, like, you will never, ever be content unless you choose to mature.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times, like, in this episode, like, we're talking about adulting, and how hard adulting is, and, like, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I've always thought about adulting as this painful fucking big backpack up a mountain thing.
Because everyone on the internet phrases it as such. Like, it's such a hard thing to overcome, and, like, we're all still struggling through it.
However, that quote quite literally, like, shifted my entire perspective of life in the second I read it. Mm. Because it was like, why do we choose to adult then? You know? Like, what, I mean,
if we could take the easier route, we could.
You could argue and say, like, yeah, you lose your insurance at 26 in America, but there's multiple countries that have universal health care.
Yeah.
Where you technically don't really have to grow up. But the beauty in choosing to grow up and choosing to live a life where you pay the fucking bills.
Yeah.
And you pay stupid, stupid fees for whatever.
Yeah.
Is that you give yourself the chance at being fully content.
Yeah.
Because when you think about yourself as a kid, you always wanted something.
Yeah.
Whether it was a toy or, like, whatever. Most of the times as a kid, you wanted something that you actually had no idea what it was. Mm-hmm. You wanted fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You wanted contentment. But as a kid, you have no grasp about what contentment is or fulfillment is. You know what I'm saying? So anyways, my advice to you, one, if I'm going to say, is you have to mentally choose to be an adult.
Yeah.
And that means taking on your rent, your own rent. Mm-hmm. You know, moving out.
Yeah.
Because for a generation of people who have experienced the utmost definition of adulting, which is leaving your family, going to another country with literally nothing.
Yeah.
It is undeniable, but that their perception of a mature adult is a someone who takes a risk.
Yeah.
Right? Because they didn't feel like a true adult until they took their big ass risk.
Mm-hmm.
If the goal of this question is like, I want to feel like an adult.
Yeah.
It is your turn to take that risk.
Mm-hmm.
And that risk is taking on the adulting so that you can be content. And then and only then and throughout that whole process, you'll have conversations with parents. And then, you know, when you're talking about, hey, like, how do I make sure that these bills are correct? Like, whatever. They're going to slowly realize, like
oh, you want this. You're hitting yourself. This shit,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, I undeniably, like, am telling my mom, I was like, wait, low-key, a Roth IRA is better than a 401k.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I've chosen to
learn about
to be the adult, you know? So, undeniably, I hate to say it, and obviously there is a huge paywall between living at home and getting your own apartment.
Yeah.
But it is those things that truly will help. But it cannot start. Those physical things don't matter if you don't mentally, like, really just be like, you know what? I'm going to take the leap forward and become mature.
Yeah.
You know?
Because as long as you stay under your parents' roof, specifically your Asian parents' roof, they will always be accepting of that because that's how they grew up.
Yeah.
And like taking big strides like that is just proving your parents, like, you can leave me alone.
Yeah.
Like,
because think about this. Imagine you had someone, your sibling, living with you, and you had to constantly feed them, or you had to cover even one bill of theirs. They're not an adult to you.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Do you agree? I went through that. That's exactly. My kid.
So then, in a way, like, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it.
Yeah.
But, like, if I truly had, like, my cousin here and, like, really just, like, mooching off of everything I had, I wouldn't really call them an adult.
Yeah.
When
my brother was living with me during the summer, and, like, obviously I was, like, very accepting of that because that's my fucking brother, I was really, like, I could see myself becoming my mom, being like, hey, can you be here? Like, can you come home at, like, 10 p.m.? Because, like, whatever with your car, you have to do this the next day. Like, making his checklist for him was actually
brutal.
It made me spiral in more ways than one. Because I was like, fuck, I have a dog. I have a job. Now I have this fucking kid. And I was like,
Yeah.
I sound like him.
Yeah.
I mean, sound like my mom.
All of this is, like, a part of adulting, but I need you guys to also understand that, like, when you choose to, like, live on your own, there is an enhanced relationship that you have. There's a new relationship that you can now navigate with your parents. It's actually wonderful, you know?
It's quite nice because, like, there's so many... You can go out with
your parents, talk about Hawkeyes, talk about Hawk Girls.
There's so many conversations where I've had with my mom where I'm, like, where I call her and I'm, like, hey, I don't know how to do this. What cleaner is best for this? And, like, you guys will bond over stuff like that.
It's girl talk.
Now it's, like, a shared experience. Like, oh, I had to do this when we bought our first house, and you're going through that with your first apartment.
Yeah.
So it's, like it's still healing in a way.
Because at the end of the day, you can bring up something inappropriate to your parents. Be like, mom, I fucked someone last night.
Uh-huh.
And she'll be mad at you, but you'll be like, I cover my own rent. I cover my own rent. I got my own insurance.
Yep.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
Spank
cut
me?
Cut me off?
Yeah.
You can. What are you going
to do? Cut me off? I already did, bitch. So then it just becomes fun, you know?
Yeah.
So anyways, I feel like this was a super long episode about adulting and, like, all of it. But I hope that there is, like, you guys realize that, I mean, there is, the point of life is to be lived. And, like, adulting is, to me, has been the most fulfilling part of it, you know? Has it been the worst?
Yes. It has been the absolute
but
worst.
But it has been the most, my cup has never been more filled.
Yeah.
My hole has never been more cream pied.
Hey guys, we live stream on Tuesdays.
Yeah, guys, I think with that, we're gonna squirt our way out of this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of Asian Girl Podcast. Alchesca, do you have anything to say?
I live stream on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Yes, and we both live stream every other Tuesday. With that being said, that's the end of today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love you guys, and thank you for support. We didn't realize
Thanks,
we're
guys.
The biggest Gaysian podcast to exist on the internet.
Woo!
And with that, we're gonna gape our way out of today's episode by saying the what we always do at the end of every episode. Isa dalawa tatlo ingat gusto ko malaki yung titi mo. I was yours for the taking, guess I needed a
home, but if I'm not mistaken, ganahan ko sa imong itlog sa dako.